Welcome to Not Another Runner Podcast, a running and health related podcast created by a run of the mill, yes, pun intended, everyday runner. Join me for all things running, health and well-being related, for the highs and lows of life, training and chasing goals. This podcast is designed to keep you motivated and enthusiastic on your journey to health and happiness. Every time I run, I discover something new about me and about life, be it a reason why I run or a discovery of myself. I genuinely find gratitude through running. I am able to stay healthy and fit through the execution of my passion, but furthermore, I am able to achieve peace, presence, growth, and discovery. And I love to hear all your stories on how running has changed your lives and what it's brought to you. I want to connect like-minded people through the power of podcast. Hello and welcome back to Not Another Runner Podcast. Today's guest is Marcus Brown. Marcus is the host of a Runner's Life podcast, co-founder of the Black Trail Runners, a UK-based community and campaigning group whose mission is to increase inclusion, representation and participation of Black people in trail running. Marcus is also a familiar voice to this podcast already, as we have done a couple of episodes together for our mashup of the Not Another Runner's Life. Please note for reference, this episode, this discussion, was recorded just 3 weeks after Marcus's sub-3 marathon and was at the end of October, which we talk about in this chat. Marcus is an extremely driven and dedicated individual, someone who I admire greatly for so many reasons, including his dedication and tenacity in not only his running, but also for all the work that he does within the running community, the collaborative work he has done with Black Trail Runners, something he speaks more of during his incredible interview on the Mario Frioli's podcast, A Morning Shakeout. Today, myself and Marcus talk a lot about his journey from 4:55 marathon to sub-3 and the invaluable lessons he has learned along the way. This chat was amazing, as are all the chats that I get to share with Marcus. I know you guys will enjoy this episode, so please let myself and Marcus know that you're tuning in, you're listening today. Take a screenshot of this podcast episode and share with us online.
Yeah, good, thanks. It's always good to talk to Natalie, so I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago we did chat. So I was just thinking some of the listeners of Not Another Runner might have already caught up with our recent episode, but they might not have. And for any new listeners that are tuning in today, could you just introduce yourself and just tell us one fact that we might not already know about you?
I'm Marcus Brown. I have a podcast called A Runner's Life. I'm on Instagram at TheMarathonMarcus. And probably one fact that you don't know about me is I can juggle.
You can juggle?
Yeah.
See a video of this. Casually while you're recording and hosting a podcast.
Well, I don't know if I could do all that, but like, I could try.
This is a dumb question, but if you're juggling, is it three balls that you can juggle, or
three?
Can you juggle a ball? Yeah,
three.
Well, that's a really interesting fact. Didn't know that about you.
I randomly asked for it for Christmas. I said, I want some juggling balls. So it was basically Christmas Day, like Boxing Day. I was just spent. All we could hear was like, duff, duff, because the balls get dropping all the time. So, and eventually got it. So yeah, it's quite relaxing in a weird way to do it. So I quite enjoy it.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it is. It's a bit like walking, running, kicking a ball around, because you switch off from what's in your head and you're concentrating on the task at hand. It's a bit like, it's a bit meditative, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then this is a question that might put you on the spot, but it'll get you thinking. If we asked you like two words that your family and friends describe you as, and then two words that you describe yourself as, just because it could be different, you know, how people see you or think of you, as opposed to how you see yourself.
Okay, so I probably would say that some of my friends and people that know me would call me selfish, one, and probably really driven. And for myself, I'd probably say driven, and curious. I think the selfish one is a hard one. So I'll give you some context to that. It's more so in the fact of my running, because that takes a lot of my time. And it's something, you know, I've had conversations about, and, you know, you feel slight guilt towards as well, especially with raising family and, you know, you're running. I'm not running at a world-class level. I'm like locally competitive, but that's not paying the bills, you know. So sometimes you do think, why are you doing it? So I think that's probably where that kind of thing comes from, because some people just don't really understand it, especially family and friends just think, like, why are you spending all this time trying to run when, you know, there's no sort of financial benefit to it? But not everything has a financial benefit, you know, it brings value to your life. But it's about trying to balance that as well. And I'm mindful of that as well. And I, you know, it's something I work towards, and I hear that feedback. So when I hear that, I just think, well, you know, I need to make more time and be more mindful of the people around me outside of running, and make them feel valued, because, you know, at the end of the day, if you haven't got those people around you closely, then, you know, running and all that kind of thing is kind of worthless. So I kind of try and have that balance between being focused, but sometimes your focus can like push you into, you just need to be mindful of other people whilst you're sort of trying to go for your goals, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can understand, appreciate how you think others might think that as selfish. I've always raised that as an argument, saying it might seem selfish, but if you've got a reason for running that's bigger than, you know, simply putting one foot in front of the other, hitting miles and PBs. Like for me, for example, running is my outlet, my you know, mental space, ability to switch off, tune into myself, feel happier, feel healthier, feel more relaxed, patient. So I always used to worry that I was coming across as selfish or not giving my family enough time because I'd be out running and I'd maybe cancel, or not cancel, but perhaps turn up later than planned, or fit the run in first and then see family, or get on with the day. But I always was able to excuse it because I was a better person having gone out for that run. And then my family and close people to me would appreciate that, you know, I had to go get out of the door and do that for me because it made me who I was.
Yeah. It's a great question.
It's a hard balance. Yeah. Well, do you know what? I was going to ask you another one, but that one came to me this morning whilst I was walking, so I thought I'll ask that.
I'm going to borrow that for my podcast as well.
Yes. Well, the other one I had was actually, and I'll use it in future episodes, and I won't do it now because we've just done that. Well, maybe I will. It was from Shah. So this question I'll ask you then. So what two words are you feeling currently, like to describe what you're feeling now? Two words.
Connected, because I'm talking to you, and just calm, really.
That's good. So that was the one I was going to originally ask, and then I was walking this morning and it just came to me. I think it's funny, isn't it, you can go out for a walk or a run and that's where you're. Does this happen to you when you're out running? Do you get ideas whilst you're on the run?
I have to write my notes phone at that time, because I just know I'll forget it, because thoughts come and go. But sometimes you just, in the moment, you just let things, you know, come and go. But yeah, I do find that thoughts do come to me whilst running. I think it's just a time to process things. I mean, this is more so for easy pace runs as opposed to sessions and workouts where you're in a different mental space, I think.
Yeah.
But it's a time, it's like, I heard this phrase the other day and I thought it was really cool. Like running is like my alone, my meeting with myself time, or something along those lines. And I thought it was really cool because it's like setting that time for yourself during the day. I mean, that could be running, that could be meditation, that could just be a walk. But as long as you set that meeting for yourself, then you know, you're sort of showing yourself that bit of respect, and I think it's crucial.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think there's many of us who probably don't really set that time for ourselves, and granted, you might have time to watch, you know, I'm not talking for myself, but or for you, but some people might have their time as just watching the TV.
Yeah.
And that might work for them. Don't think it works for me. I think walking, meditation or yoga would have to be the time that I'd set aside. But it's surprising how few people do actually set that time aside to just be by themselves or just switch off or tune in.
But I think it's just the way that we've been conditioned. It's almost like being busy means you're being productive. It's almost like if you're stopping, then you're wasting time and, you know, whatever. There's nothing wrong with stopping, pausing and just reflecting. That's not a waste of time if you use it in the right way. But sometimes, like, even if you want to watch, you know, a Netflix documentary or series or whatever, then is that really wasting time if that allows you to kind of switch off as well? So it just depends how you use it and what you value as a priority.
Yes, yeah. I was thinking just that on my walk today, thinking, right, I need to stop. Like, I don't watch that much TV, but if I stumble across a good series, like I have done this last week, I'm like addicted and glued to it. I can't stop watching it. And it's really frustrating me because it's eating up my time. I've got other things I want to do. So I need to put it down. You were just saying about being busy and like being productive. Sometimes it's good to just switch off. I've always been surprised and admire how much you are able to do. Like, I just sometimes think, wow, how are you juggling all of these items in your diary, in your weekly schedule? Do you ever feel like you're doing too much?
I mean, because I think you're in the process of doing, you never stop to think, wow, that's amazing, or this is that. You know, you could look at other people and say, like, they're doing more than me or less than me, and I never try and get that sort of comparison trap. I just think sometimes you have to deal with what you have. It's, if you're a parent and you've got kids, you have to be a parent, you've got to go to work. They are non-negotiables, and around that I'm just more aware of the extra time that I have, and with that time you just try to make it happen. It's not always easy. You know, you put the kids to bed and then you're tired, and then you think, okay, that's my time to work on myself, whether that's my day job or working on something for social media. But, you know, I'm not, you know, some sort of superhero. And also I've got to, you know, shout out my wife as well, because without her support, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do the training that I did, because if I had to raise my two kids by myself, and I couldn't do what I'm doing now in terms of training and podcasting and that kind of stuff. That would have to stop. So you know, it's the people around me as well that help make me who I am and allow me to do what I can do, and obviously then that's obviously I have to reciprocate that back to them as well. So I talk about being selfish. I think the thing I'm learning, even though I want to go for my goals, you know, it's also important to show respect and time to people that you care about, your kids and things like that, because they don't care that you're a runner or what time you think you need to get, or whether you think you're good or not. They just want you to be present, and the same as my wife as well. So that's something, it's like an ongoing thing, and I'm still not perfect. So, you know, I'm not saying anything, I'm perfect in all areas. I don't get everything right all the time, but I try my best.
I'm having got to know you the last few months, doing our co-hosted episodes and chatting, that's something I recognise in you. What would you say is the reason that you keep going with, like, what is your, I always ask about what is your why I run, but what is your why to everything that you are working towards, you know, with the podcasting, everything you do for social media, how much, like, you are involved within the community? Like, do you see an end goal? Do you see something that you're working towards, or like a purpose? Do you know what that is?
I think at this point, you know, you'd think, you know, this is my 5 or 10 year goal, and this is the steps to achieve it. And I'll be honest, I plan somewhat, but then sometimes I just let things happen spontaneously. So I don't really plan, for example, like how my Instagram posts are going to go. I kind of shoot from the hip based on how I'm feeling. And I try and keep it as authentic as possible. You know, we talked about authenticity. I mean, you're presenting what you think is true at that time. So I guess it is authentic. But I guess what is my ultimate aim and why, to try and answer your question, and it's something that I'm still processing and working out. And I think sometimes you only get the answers by looking, being able to look back and reflect. So for the running, for example, when I first started running, it was more because I didn't feel great about myself. And I thought, if I try and run and I try and get these times, then I will prove something to myself. And it was around about feeling, you know, good enough and that kind of thing. And you get to a point and you realize, actually, that's not enough. And it's the same as, like, you know, people say, what are you running for? Am I running for a Boston qualifier, or am I running for a time? That's not enough of a reason to get out of bed, you know, when you don't want to run, when you're tired, when it's, you know, a couple of degrees outside and you've got to get that training run in. That's not enough of a reason to why. And even though recently I've been speaking about my sub-3, I think some people have this misconception that that is my sole aim, and now I've done it, that is, I'm going to stop running. Through my running, it's always been, when I've looked back and been able to join the dots, it's the fact that I'm looking to prove myself right, to face the things that I was afraid of, and actually know there's more in the tank. And each run almost is like a validation of how strong, not physically to dominate anyone else, but how strong I am as a person, and in terms of like what value I have. And not saying that the run values it, but I'm just saying, like, each kind of experience in terms of, you know, each goal, I mean, you sort of learn something more about yourself. And I'm probably thinking this is probably going into some sort of Kanye West type rant, but essentially it's about facing, you know, your fears, knowing that you're valuable. And I think each experience kind of pushes you towards that. But then alongside that, you've got your side, but then you need to connect it to other people. And it's about, again, how can you bring value to other people as well? So on my podcast, it just started with the idea of, like, I like having good conversations. I really want to share stuff that we all think about beyond running splits and trainers and times and stuff, and just talk about what connects us as people. And I've had some fascinating conversations, which I've really enjoyed and I continue to have. And it's just great to see the feedback from the running community, and just for people to think, oh, you know, I can relate to that person. You know, regardless of the times or whatever, you just sort of see that we're all going through similar experiences and we feel similar things when it's mile 20 and mile 25 in the marathon. You know, so I'm really enjoying that community aspect, but I haven't really got a plan, if that makes sense, of like where I'm trying, like a master plan of like, this is why I want to take it in 5 years. It's just more, I like doing it. And it's something I can do off my own steam without other influences, and just sort of see where it goes.
Yeah, love that. I love that you're, firstly, love your podcast, and I listen to the episodes, and I love your format and how, you know, how you ask questions and how you try and connect and, you know, speak a bit more about the run inside, more about the, you know, more than just the times, because that's definitely something that I've hoped for in my own, and to connect like-minded people beyond just the running element of it. Did the idea for the podcast just come to you like whilst on the run? Was it something you'd been thinking of for a while? And talking of facing fears, you know, was it something that you'd been putting off?
There's quite a few questions in there, so hopefully I try and answer them. But yeah, it is to do with facing fears. I think a few people can probably relate to this, not liking the sound of their own voice. When you hear the sound of your voice played back to you, just like you gasp, you're like, do I say that? And you hear all the little filler words that you say and little mannerisms that you have that you don't probably hear as much as, you know, through your own ears. So one hand, it was just, yeah, facing fears of my own, listening to my own voice, but then trying to connect with people, because I always play this really negative narrative in my head about being an introvert and, you know, a confident introvert. But now when I think about it, you know, I listen to my podcast and I speak to you, and I'm like, actually, I'm actually quite good, not in an arrogant way, but I can connect with people and I like talking to people. So why am I saying I'm this person, I'm away from people? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you can tell yourself this really weird narrative, and then when you stop telling yourself that narrative, you know, you just sort of see what happens. It's amazing what happens. And I've been able to connect with people and have some really amazing conversations. And through each podcast, you know, I'm learning each time. I'm not trying to come at it like a journalist. I'm just trying to come at it as like a person, just a curious. I'm asking questions that I consider that I want to know about. And, you know, I'm really enjoying that process at the minute.
Yeah. One thing I've wanted to ask you before, I don't think it's come up when we've had chats before, but maybe it has when we haven't recorded, I'm not sure. Have you ever felt like, you know, having, because of your podcast and then obviously having a following like you do on Instagram, which is, I think, nearly 20,000 followers now, is there any time where you question what you're doing, or you wonder, you know, how will you continue with what you've created?
Yeah, I think you wouldn't be human if you didn't question. I think if you don't question, not in a second guessing way, but if you don't question your intentions about what you're doing and the way you're living your life, then it's almost like a wasted life, really. You can't be the same person that you were at 25 as you're going to be at 55, you know? You can't do the same thing every day because you're going to miss out on growing and new experiences. So the person that I was when I started my Instagram account to the person I am now is completely different in some ways. Obviously, you know, you are essentially the same person, but in terms of just the way you look at the world, just grow through meeting different people and experiences. And yeah, I mean, there are days that you do think, what do I post about? But I think at the beginning I was more concerned about, again, it was about trying to face my fears, and it was just about doing something day and night. And I think the narrative I subscribed to was that you need to post something every day. And then I got to the point of like, well, I don't really need to post something every day. So now I just kind of post as and when. It's not that regular in terms of, just, it's not consistent in terms of, like, you know, it would be like a Monday post and this post. It's kind of, sometimes I go in a burst and sometimes I step back, because that's how you sort of feel as a person. And like I said, I don't try and sit and second guess, or what am I going to talk about, or what am I going to post. I just try and post something that I'm feeling at the time. And I think I try and put it through a filter. It's like, okay, this is what I'm thinking, but does it have any value for other people? Is it just some sort of kind of, you know, it doesn't always work out that way, but I think you try and put through the filter of, do I like it? Is it bringing value to other people and that kind of thing? So there's a couple of processes that it goes through in your head. But yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be, you know, it's not unheard of to think about. I mean, I was thinking about this morning, and I've been back running post the marathon, and I haven't posted a running photo of my training runs, but I've been training for the last 2 weeks, but I've just not, I've not talked about the miles. I'm talking about the running. I was thinking about like why that was. And I just think sometimes it's just nice to have that thing to you, because although you're on social media, you can share quite a bit. Sometimes it's just nice just to be like, do you know what, I ran and I kept that to myself.
Yeah, love that. I love that you just said, you know, prior to posting anything, you do have like a thought process of, what are you feeling, and does it bring value to others? Like, love that, because that's something I'm passionate about. If ever I've shared anything online or posted anything, I always try and think, you know, is this something that others will benefit from, or you know, will it be value for others? More so than I think of what I want to tell myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? You were just saying you've been back running for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed the time of like running post marathon, post sub three? Has there been less pressure?
To be honest, I didn't feel pressure even before the sub three.
That's good.
I mean, in the weeks leading up to it, I think it was about 5 or 6 weeks that my coach got me to do these sessions, and I just felt so confident from it, and I felt the experiences I gained from the previous attempts of trying for it three times. It's like, well, you know, you didn't get it, but you know, you could still try again. You know, you've got another opportunity. There's people that can't race now, and you've got a race, so you know, there's nothing really to be fearful of and nothing to be afraid of. And I've done the work, and I was thinking, like, well, if I can run this pace for 18 miles, then I know I can do the rest of the marathon. Even if I just, you know, slow down slightly, I know I can still get sub three. So I had this confidence that going into it that it was going to happen. And then when it did happen, it was a great feeling to prove myself right. And like I said, it's not the end of the road, or, you know, some sort of that this is like a definitive moment. And now I can sort of sit down and, you know, skip off into the sunset. It's just more a great feeling of just, yeah, I've proved myself right. And, you know, sometimes people say, you know, they have like a marathon high, then a marathon crash. Like, what's next? I haven't had that feeling, because I've been processing and just thinking about the person I've had to grow into to get to where I am. And, you know, I've spoken about my slowest marathon in previous reviews on my social. And to go from 4:55 down to 2:56, it's a sense of like satisfaction that no one can take away from you, because I know what it's taken to get there. And it's funny how you see how people look at you differently from when you're perceived to be slow, and now you're perceived to be, well, fast, well, for, you know, non-elites, non-sub-elites, I'd say. So it's just funny how other people's opinions can sort of come about. But between that, I always believed in myself, and it's just been a really calming feeling and just a real nice sense of satisfaction. Because with running, there's so many moments where it's not enjoyable is not the right word, but it's not lots of highs. Like, you're led to believe, like, it's not like you're going to do a 16-week training plan and then it's just all going to go, you know, to a goal. You know, this doesn't always go well, you know, and there's lots of moments where it does suck and you don't like it and it's not fun. But then when you get the moments that do work really well, it just gives you appreciation for all those moments. And then you actually learn actually both moments to hold both moments very lightly, because like a win now, it doesn't mean that's the end and that's the end of your journey. But the same as like a loss isn't really a loss. It's not fatal. Like, you can get back up. You can try again. And the satisfaction from getting up and trying again and getting better, it's amazing. I mean, if everything came easy to you, then it would have no value at all. But I really value the whole process. And now I've got to this stage where I'm at, I think, wow, okay, well, I've probably been giving myself, say, X amount of percent. But what if I continue with this growth sort of, and just believing, and where can it take me? Not just in running, but just in life.
There's a few things that I want to touch on from what you've just said. Firstly, you mentioned, and I know you mentioned this briefly to me earlier, since obtaining that sub three, you've experienced others, at least, you know, how they perceive you to be differently. Could you just tell us a little bit more about that? How have you encountered that?
I think a lot of people, and myself included, no one's immune from the sort of the sidewards glancing. You know, you're at one stage and then you move further and you're happy for a moment and then you're like, oh, you look into the left and you're like, oh, that person's got more than me. And, you know, it's always kind of moving forward. And it's like, unless you're like Bridget Koskay or Eliud Kipchoge, you know, who, it's like we're all kind of second behind those elite athletes. And so I think at some point you just have to just kind of stop looking sideways. But the perception is like how people see you, and from being perceived to be slow or perceived to being fast, it's like there's some sort of value in that. And it's like people sometimes are too quick to judge and all write themselves off accordingly. And it's just like, just because you're at a certain stage doesn't mean that that is all of who you are. It's like you can see someone and you can just judge them and think, oh, but how do you know that that person hasn't, like, for example, someone in the street randomly, you could see someone, like a bin man, for example, and you could be like, oh, he looks like this. But then how can you write that person off? You don't know if that person knows something more about a certain aspect of life that you could learn from. I know I'm going into a bit of a tangent here, but it's just about just people's assumptions of just what something is, you know, externally or whatever. And it's just like, that doesn't really matter. It's just what you feel about yourself. It's, you know, you just have to trust yourself. Sometimes you're lucky to find like someone that trusts in you, like a teacher or a mentor or a parent, and you know, they give you that confidence, and then you have that, and then you can move forward and do what you need to do. You know, some people need that, and that's fine. So my sort of thing is just, it's just interesting to see how people perceive me from being a quote-unquote slow runner to a quote-unquote fast runner. And I'm not that, but I'm a fast in relation to, you know, the elite, sub-elite, etc. So
is that something that you think, like, perhaps I'm trying to work out, you know, have you experienced negativity, or is it something that you're thinking they perceive you as, or have people outwardly said or, you know, made assumptions because of that big goal that you hit?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like you said, I think there's an important distinction between like your imagined conversations and things like that as opposed to real conversations. And I've had like real conversations. When I did my 455 and I went into work, I had people telling me that was slow. And, you know, you tell people afterwards, like, I ran 455, and you see the look in their faces, and they're like, oh, well, I ran 335. You know, surely you could run sub 4 for your age. You know, you've had people say that to me. And then I remember, you know, you need to say it's not always like the kindest of place. And I remember there's one particular sub 3 hour group, and I joined that. And I remember the people in there were like, why are you in this group? All you do is like post pretty pictures. If you just try to work a bit harder, you can maybe get to this age. And like, it's like, I'm this age and I do this time. And I'm like, okay, thanks for that. So you've had people like, again, like, you know, from have that sort of aspect. Then so now people are like, oh, but it's okay for you, Marcus, because you're a faster runner and you don't feel this thing. I'm like, no, regardless of the time, I still feel the same emotions as I felt when I was running 4:55. And it's just, sometimes you just go through this experience. I've seen like the full circle almost of just the noise of just other people's opinions. And and you just learn that. So you have to keep your circle very small, and just the opinions that you listen to, you have to, you know, keep that smaller, because you can't take on board everyone's opinions. Some of it, you know, is helpful. Some of it's not helpful. Some of it's just other people's insecurities come out to you. And I just have to learn to think, is this helpful, or, you know, is this unhelpful?
That's crazy. I hadn't realized that you'd had, you know, number one, negativity when you did your first marathon 4:55 and people telling you it's slow. That's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that people even comment on the time first, especially on a first time round marathon. Like, you know, unless you ask, I don't know, unless you ask for an opinion, it's not really warranted. To me, it's not anyway. And it's sad that you've had that slight negativity as well since hitting this big goal. And for someone to turn around and say, well, you know, you just post pretty pictures. That's quite sad to hear.
Yeah, it is what it is. But ultimately, like, it shaped me because sometimes you need that criticism early on to be able to do stuff on social media, because it's not all, you know, not everyone likes you. It's not all everyone's high-fiving you or wants you to do well. And if you can't take it, like, then you wouldn't be able to take it now. So
yeah,
it's all experience. I'm not inviting people to give a view so I can use it as some sort of, you know, thing to score against. But yeah, it's just part of life, really. And it sort of just focuses your mind on, like I said, like what voices you listen to and to trust yourself. I mean, ultimately, through the last, you know, last year or so, I mean, it's just been, well, if my coach thinks I can do this, why not? Why do I not just give it a chance? Just put my own fears to one side and just go for it and see what happens. And that's what I feel like now. You have an option of, you know, what you give energy to. It's like you can sit there and it's human nature to worry, or to hear things and to think, oh, you know, do I worry about this? But then you think, well, I have an option of, do I worry or do I think, oh, is that true? Or what, can I put my energy into something that's actually going to serve me better? Why call something into existence that's not going to help me? If someone thinks I'm a slow runner, I don't want to run thinking, oh, I'm a slow runner, I can't do this. That's not going to help me. I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to run out of bed just clicking your heels, like wanting to chase everyone down. But, you know, just give yourself something, you know, nourishing to go with. I mean, like, it's like the fuel that you put in your body, you eat, you know, it's the same stuff that you put in your mind. You can't put rubbish in your mind and expect miracles.
Yeah, yeah. That quite a few things again I wanted to touch on. I mean, it's like you said, you know, you're going to experience negativity, especially when you open yourself up to sharing so openly online and publicly. So yeah, I get that, and sometimes I have to remind myself of that, like, if negativity comes my way, you know, I have to, you know, you should only care, like you said, of the circle that you choose to keep small and keep around you. So you can't take on board everyone's opinions or criticism. It's learning to appreciate and listen to those who are close to you. With regards to negativity, like online, have you experienced much then because of the public profile that you have and the very, you know, large number of following that you do have?
I think you'd be... I think it's pretty uncommon for anyone to, you know, to have any sort of following that's not experienced something. And I have done. I mean, I've like I've spoken a little bit about that. There's been stuff around race as well, but it's one of those things that I kind of don't want to give it too much energy, if that makes sense, because I don't really want to, you know, these things are other people's problems, and you know, I think it's just bigger than that. It's like we talk about the people you listen to. Like, the way I look at it is, just when I'm running a race or I'm doing anything, I think, who am I accountable to? First of all, you're accountable to yourself. You want to make sure that you do right for yourself. But then I think about my wife, my kids, my running stuff. For the running side, I think about my coach. You know, I'm not thinking about anything beyond that. So, yeah, there are things that happens, but on the whole, you know, the majority, you know, of my interactions on social media have been mostly positive. You know, I've met some great people, I've had some great connections, I've been able to connect with you, and I've, like, even stuff for the podcast, I'm speaking to people that I would never thought I would speak to, and it's just crazy. Just like, you do sometimes have that almost that feeling of like, wow, is this actually happening, or is it, do you know what I mean, they're going to find out that I'm not this or whatever. I think we will have that sort of imposter syndrome at some point, but you just sort of go through it and you realize actually people are kind of similar to you and have same sort of feelings and fears and hopes and dreams. And but ultimately I'd say the vast majority, like 98% of stuff on social media I've done or stuff online is positive. There's obviously the stuff that you know, people that don't like you, and there's the people that just watch you from the side. But
yeah,
but you can't that's their prerogative, isn't it? So I was like, well, if you want to spend time watching me, then that's time like your day, really. So thank you.
Yeah, me and you have definitely spoken about that before, about people watching from the sidelines but not actually offering that support or just sneakily watching. And again, it's like you said, it's their prerogative. If that's what they want to do, then, you know, carry on. I think at times like that, and like you said, not giving the negativity too much energy, which is brilliant. I've experienced very little negative instances online, but it does still happen. And I try and do that as well. We not give too much energy. I think I'm not quite as down that path as you might be. I think you seem to be able to compartmentalize that, which is really good. I think I hold my hands up and say that I've had negativity and I've let it get to me. But thankfully, it doesn't last long, and I remind myself of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I'm not perfect as well. I mean, like, when I, the first stage is like when I'd get negative comments, I'd react to it, or I'd, you know, repost it or something like that, and, you know, it'd get to me. But
yeah,
I just think, like, I remember I got something to do like Black Lives Matter, and I wrote this post, and someone I followed wrote something very like right wing, and I was just like, wow. I was just like okay, unfollow. And I just left it. I was just like, I'm not even going to give you my energy. I'm not even going to comment to that. I was like, if that's your energy, that's how it is. And it can seem really harsh in terms of just like, just cut that person off. But sometimes it's, you don't, if you give that person your energy, then you're just sort of showing that it's got to you. And I'm like, I'm beyond this. It doesn't get to me. I'm just like, that's just your ignorance. That's your ignorance.
Mm. And that's a great place to be, where you can say, like, you know, that it's not affecting you too much, and it's their ignorance. And it's like you said earlier, when you're receiving this sort of negativity, or when people are placing judgment or comments, it's normally their own insecurities that are coming out that requires them to place comment or to judge or to say something. I don't know.
Yeah, but when you know yourself, though, I mean, like, if someone, even if you've got a weakness and you've addressed it and you know it, then what can someone say to me that it's going to impact me?
Yeah.
It's like, if someone says something about my race or something, yeah, it's going to hurt, but I know that intrinsically I'm a good person. So
yes.
What does your opinion matter? It doesn't. That's why I was just like, block.
Like that comment. Yeah. And we have definitely said this before, like, with regards to the blocking and following, like, because I hear so much negativity over social media, but we choose who we follow, we choose who we connect with, we choose who are our friends. The only people that we can't choose are our family, our relatives. So if there is negativity within your feed, or you're finding something, you know, that's bringing you down, you don't, that doesn't need to be there. Unfollow, like you say, block. You know, if there's a friend that's, you know, causing negative issues within your life, you know, it's time to look at the friendship and the circles that you're choosing to surround yourself with.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you're younger, you feel like, we're going to be best friends for life. This is forever end. And people change, and sometimes people aren't happy that you've changed and whatever. Yes. Like you say, in terms of growing, and sometimes I feel like, yeah, it's probably that person's for you, that, for you, for that stage of life, but then they're making room for someone better. And I just sort of look at it in that way, rather than like, yeah, we're going to be tight for life, and this is gonna be, I'm not being negative, but I'm just like, I'm a realist. And also, you know, people have got different responsibilities, they've got like family and life and other things, so people's lives are busy. And it's, you know, as you become an adult as well, it's straightforward as it looks, and it's not the same sort of thing. And as once you are, you know, a kid or a teenager.
So you were saying about change there, and like, that's something that I've said before. Like, if someone says you've changed, I think we must have said this in our co-hosted one. But yeah, if someone said you've changed, well, yeah, you'd expect there to be a change. You're not going to be the same person. You'd like to think that most of us will evolve and, you know, become, you know, continue to become better people, learn more, etc., etc. Now, there is a question that you've asked guests in your episodes on the podcast, and that is, if you could tell your younger self one thing, like, what would it be? And like, for you now, Marcus, if you could tell your younger self prior to setting up that Instagram, prior to this podcast world and your marathon journey, what would you tell yourself? Like,
oh, there's loads of things, but
yeah,
not like War and Peace, loads of things. I mean, not that long and descriptive, but I'm just trying to think initially. So I guess one thing that's sort of jumping out to me right now is, so when I was doing my first few marathons, the first few races, I was looking at it in terms of Okay, so to answer your question, before going back, so I told myself to relax and accept that life and running has up and down moments, but neither are good or bad, and you shouldn't attach so much meaning to it being good or opposite to it being bad. Both have lessons in it. And I think, like, my last marathon, I said, build it, I just felt so relaxed. But that was because I've, you know, quote unquote failed, but I've learned from each failure from the previous marathon attempts. And, you know, I've been sick in runs, or I've had things happen to run in wind and rain. I was like, well, you know, these things have happened, so you kind of get through it. So I probably tell myself to relax, not to, you know, it's not life and death some of these races.
Yeah.
And the more you relax, actually, the more things happen. And also mentally, because, like, you know, you were running, like, you say, what do you think about? Initially, I was thinking, oh, you need to be thinking all these mantras and all these things, but it's just a lot of mental energy. It's almost like when you see, like, professional, you know, players of different sports, say, like team sports, and you just look at them before a game, and it's like, do you want them to be the person that's all hyped up, or are you fearful of the person that's really calm? It's the person that's really calm you've got to be worried about. So,
yeah.
So it's like they're kind of in their zone, they're relaxed, they know what they need to do. And it's just like, I would say, I would tell myself that I would have done that a lot sooner and just trust the process a bit more. And like I said, it's just redefining what does success and failure look like, and just treating both of them, you know, the same. It's almost like they're both not as cracked up as it should be. Do you know what I mean? We put too much value and which is important, the significance in them. They're pretty much the same. They've got lessons in both of them, and both are, you know, an end point.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we learn so much from our from what we've succeeded in. I'm trying to think of the antonym to failure. Successes. Yeah. Couldn't think of that. We learn so much from successes, but we learn even more from our failures. And I know you said earlier about it's okay to get back up and get going. And, you know, if you don't hit a goal the first time round, then it's okay. And I didn't come back to that, and I wanted to, because that is something that I was sharing the other day. And I think that's so important to remind ourselves that, you know, you might have a goal and reach for it and not succeed first time round, but, you know, you will have learned so much from that experience from not succeeding. You know, and what do you want to take away from that, I want to say, quotation marks, failure, because it's not failure, so to speak, if you don't quit and keep going. Now, for you, Marcus, on days where you're, and as I ask all guests, where you're struggling to get up and get going, like, to motivate yourself, what is your go-to to try and, you know, psych yourself up to get up and get going, whether that be for a run or to, you know, host a podcast and interview someone, whatever it is, what do you use to psych yourself up?
Again, I think it just depends on the moment. Sometimes you need to bully yourself into doing things. Sometimes you just need to have a quiet word of yourself. And I would just ask myself, when you're thinking these thoughts, I mean, is it true? Just say, talk back to those feelings. Is it true? And just talk through it. You know, that you don't deny that you're experiencing those feelings, or, you know, you're not struggling about certain things, but you just, is it true? And just go through that process. And it's the same thing in running as well. It's most of the time, you know, in terms about psyching yourself up, it's like a misconception that, like, even though I was talking about sub three, most of the day's training aren't that extraordinary or aren't that amazing, or you don't feel great. You know, this, you're running and you might be slightly achy, or, you know, you're thinking about something at work, or you're stressed about something with family, or, you know, it's not like 6 of the 7 days are just like sparkling runs and you just like can't wait. You know, there's some challenges between in those runs, and a lot of the runs are, if it was like a color, it'd be gray. You know, they're not they're not amazing. They just they get done. I don't want to make it seem like I don't enjoy it, because I do enjoy it, but there's a misconception that like it's easy, or you love every run, or like it's something, or rather than it should be. It's the thing that's beautiful about running is that it's just uncomfortable, and it puts you into just the place of just like how do you process that, and how you're moving through space, and lots of different things. So, you know, it's not about always the winning and the losing. I think I've just learned to really embrace just the uncomfortableness of it, and actually find build a home there, if that makes sense, rather than trying to search for this place that doesn't exist, like in a distance where nothing hurts and it's all easy. And if it was all easy, then it would have no value to you and you wouldn't grow. You need to be in that place for you to really come out, and when the moments matter, to show you like how strong you, or valuable, or brilliant that you are.
There's a question I want to ask you, because I know you've said a couple of times that, you know, not all, you know, a lot of runs are like grey. And you've said before, and I've heard you say this to other people, that running's not always enjoyable, and it can be painful, you know, chasing the goals that you've had, etc. Have you ever questioned why, like, if running is not always enjoyable, and say that's because you're chasing that goal and you're trying to do hard sessions, and this is a question to all runners, you know, if they're chasing a goal that is faster than what they've achieved before, if it's not always enjoyable, or it's painful, or it's hard, or it demands so much of you, have you ever thought to yourself, I don't need to run this fast, I can run slow? I know this is a silly question for when you're such a great athlete and you can achieve brilliant things, but the reason I'm asking is, have you ever questioned yourself, you know, I don't have to run this fast, I don't have to have a sub, you know, whatever it may be, I can run slower, enjoy the pace?
I mean, you just did there what people do to me now as well. It's like, you're such a great athlete. I was like, really? I'm like,
you're an amazing athlete.
I mean, I'm happy with where I am, but I look at it in the sense of, I always don't forget where I came from. So I never really, I'm going to sit there and be like, yeah, I'm the best, I'm amazing. Ultimately, I'm just trying to do my best that I can, and I'm super proud of like where I've come from to get to this day. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I think what running showed me is actually there's a lot of beauty in the uncomfort, the discomfort, the suffering. And not, it shouldn't be the sense of, I'm not saying, you know, if it hurts, or, you know, you're injured, you push through. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we've been conditioned to almost live life to be comfortable, to take it easy. And, you know, there's no fun in that, to be honest. There's no growth in that. It's just, it's nice for a while, but then it gets old. It's like if you go on holiday and, you know, you're an amazing resort and it's drinks and food and great weather. It's great for like, you know, a week or so, or 2 weeks or whatever, but you couldn't do it for a year, because afterwards you'd just be like, I need something, because everything is too easy. You know, you need that discomfort to kind of connect you back to yourself. And it's not a point of just like you keep beating yourself. That's not it. But I just think it's just, it's like any tool. It's like if you stop using it, it just gets duller, really. And I think running just helps give me more context and balance for life. It's just like, even this year with 2020, it's been so tough for so many people. But the skills that running has given me has really helped me get through this year. For example, keep my circle small. So I don't really watch the news that much, because I know that it's just going to be negative. I watch enough and then I stop to keep my circle small. And then just keep consistent. You know, you might not enjoy it, but you keep going. And I've had a lot of people say, and they say, well, I've not got a race to go for, and I don't feel motivated. And I'm a bit like, well, I'm not training for a race. I'm training for life. You know, you can't ask for, when it's good, you can't ask for good things, but then when it sucks, you can't be complaining at the same time, be like, oh, woe is me. It's just like, no, this is a great opportunity. This is a great test. If you can come through this year, what are you going to be like when things are quote-unquote normal and races resume, as you know, in a different format close to what we had before? Like, how amazing, how much strength are you going to get from that? So I just think, like, you know, it's your perspective. And for me, I just try and find, you know, the benefits in all aspects of, you know, the journey, the good and the not so good. I mean, there's value in it. It's just, I think, just like I said before, it's just changing the narrative and just being kinder to ourselves, I think.
That's a brilliant answer. There's so many things you've said there that I couldn't agree more with. I genuinely was wondering, have you ever asked yourself that? And it sounds like a daft question, especially for like a runner to ask a runner, because, you know, when someone's got potential, or they've got ability, or they've got the resilience and determination and drive, then obviously you're going to put those attributes to the test and go after anything that you possibly dream of or wish to, you know, with regards to a goal or a PB or, you know, a marathon goal. So it sounds like a daft question to ask, but I do think sometimes it's a good question to ask.
It's not a daft question. It's a question that we all can relate to. And I'm human as well. It's like when I was training for the London Marathon this year and it got postponed. Yeah, I was disappointed. Did I feel lost in my next training session? Yes. But then I had to sit down and talk to myself and just be like, what are you training for? You know, yes, there is, you know, uncertainty in training for a year and not having a race. But then I said to myself, but what have I actually lost? If I continue training and races do resume, what have I lost? The opposite is that if I do nothing and races resume, then I'm going to be further back than I was before. So I've actually lost nothing by training.
Yeah. There's so many things I would touch on now from what you've just said. One thing you said was, I think you said running is giving you the skills, you know, to get through this year. And I think, wow, that's so true. I've definitely at one time or another this year thought, you know, how am I, like, because I've had others close to me that have struggled with the restrictions that have been imposed due to COVID, and, you know, the fact that we can't do this, can't do that. Lots of things, you know, that we're not able to do that we could have done before. And I've seemed to have, like, just merrily just continued with life, and I have thought to myself, well, do you know what, I think this is like a marathon. It's like marathon training. It's like keep going, and the resilience, maybe even mental health, that has taught me over the years to keep going, one foot in front of the other, and to know that this will pass and, you know, it's going to come to an end. I do think that has given me the strength this year to get through what we've experienced, and so I like how you said that. And you also said, you're not training for a race, you're training for life. I love that. That has made me think of a lot of things. And one thing I was just going to say, and you don't need to do it now, but if ever you're questioning why you're doing something, I found or heard of something really interesting from another podcast, and it was 7 Levels Deep of Why by Dean Graziosi. I think that's the right way to say it, Graziosi. So it's where you're doing something, but you're questioning why you're doing it, or if someone else is questioning why you're doing it. And, like, you know, when someone asks you why, and you might give an answer, or someone else might give an answer. But unless you ask yourself, why are you doing this, several times, you won't really know that true answer. So I know I've asked myself before, why am I doing this, with regards to, I don't know, it could be X, Y, or Z. And I've given myself an answer in my head. And then I've said, well, that's not really the reason I'm doing it or continuing to do it. So I'll ask myself again, like, yeah, but why are you doing that? And you were kind of doing it just then, Marcus, when you were saying, where was it? I think you were saying, like, yeah, but what, you know, what am I training for? Like, why am I doing this? Like, if you ask yourself 7 times, your why, your reason for doing that whatever it is that you're doing will be very different to that initial why that you gave yourself. So that's just interesting to take away if ever you're questioning yourself or if someone's questioning.
Yeah, I agree. I think the whys are such an important thing. Like I've said this before, you have a pocket full of whys, and like you said, you delve deeper. Like when I'm racing, I was raising money for Sands, and that's a great charity. Then you think about your kids, and you think about my wife, I think about my coach, I think about the work I've done, I think about New York, you know. But ultimately, when I go down to it, it's just like, I want to, through running to an aspect, it showed me how good I can be. And that's not measured in like time performance, by the way. But it's almost like you, once you sort of open that bit up, and you're like, oh, actually, I've actually got this value, not associated with running, but in myself as a person. It's like, how amazing is that? And then you sort of think, well, how much more can I explore of that part of me, rather than listening to the doubts and all that other stuff? So for me, it's almost like a selfish thing. Running allows me to basically see the best of myself that was there all along, but sometimes get clouded by the way you're brought up, other people's opinions, you know, just the work, you know, that we get involved with, and all the other external stuff.
Just when you set out to do several of the World Marathon Majors, was 6 stars ever something that you had to do? Did you stumble? Like, did you, you know, because I know that we weren't connected back then, we weren't friends, but, you know, was it that you just happened to have done 2 and they thought, oh, I really want to go for the 6? Was there a reason for why you went and tried to achieve the 6 stars?
Yeah, so when I first started, I did London and Berlin, and I thought, you know, that's my lot type thing. And I had a friend who did New York, speaking to her in 2015, and I was like, there's no way it can be as good as London. She's like, no, it's better. It's like, what? I was like, okay. So I was like, I really want a piece of this, I want to try it out myself. And I think when you see someone that you know who's done something that you thought was maybe out of your reach, because like I said, I thought London but on my lot, you think, why am I limiting myself? So I did New York, and I was just like, wow, this is incredible. You know, it's probably one of the toughest of the 6 majors, courses wise, but you know, the atmosphere, see, pre-COVID, it was just incredible. I'm not quite sure what it'd be like now, even if COVID went away. I think, you know, so much fear in the world that I'm not quite sure the crowds would be the same for most races. But putting that to one side, so yeah, that basically started my journey for the 6. And I was like, wow, I've done New York now. What's next? Can I do any others? And it really snowballed from there, really. So New York, then Tokyo, then it was about to do the rest of the American races. And yeah, so it was never really a thing to, again, about other people or the medal or anything else. It was about doing something that I didn't think I could do at the start. Like I limited myself. I was like, well, no, what if I could do this? And then once you do something like that, it's like it does sort of move into other areas of your life. But you have to be mindful of, just because you reach one goal, that's not the end of your your growth, your learning. You know, you have to kind of move it forwards. I mean, that's such an important thing post-race. You need to have a focus on something else, because like there is that aspect of falling into that hole, really, of like what's next and what's my purpose and that kind of stuff. But for me, I didn't really have that post 6 star, because I'd gone through so much of my life up to that point, and then to achieve that, just felt, although it's a man-made achievement, don't get me wrong, it's not like, you know, I guess the most things are man-made achievements, even if you go to the moon or climbing Everest to a certain extent, but it's just basically doing something bigger than requires so much effort that you just, do you know what I mean, beyond, you've just got to jump through those so many layers of doubts to get there. And I think coming through that, it's just amazing. It's almost like, do you know, you've been in the plane, right, and you're about to take off, and it's a grey day, and all you can see is just clouds, and then as soon as the plane goes up, it goes through the clouds, and it's just like a perfectly blue sky. That's what the 6 star felt like to me. But you have to go through all those grey clouds first that's still there. Then you look down and think, wow, they're just it's not as bad as it was. You're just looking from a different perspective.
And how long did it take you to achieve all six?
Oh, it took me years. So I started 2010, and then I stopped running for like several years, and I didn't really start again until 2016, and then I finished it in 2018.
I bet when you stopped running for those several years that you did, I bet if you were told, right, in five or what is it, six, like say however many years it was then, you will have achieved this, you will have done that, you will have connected with all these different people, you'd have your own podcast, your show. I bet you wouldn't have been able to have believed that at that time where you weren't running.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think at that time I hated running. No, literally, I did hate running. I felt that, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, they felt like they're owed something. It's like, I've done 16 weeks, I should get this sub-4 time. I didn't get it. And it's like, you know, it's just like, I've done the work, it should equal this, why am I not getting it? And then you turn that mirror back to yourself, and it's like, it must be me.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not, you know, it's, some things take longer, you know, running takes time, and running just teaches you patience. And I think I was just in a different headspace then. And sometimes you just need that time alone to reflect on where you are and what you think is true. And, you know, I needed that time really. You know, it would be perfect to sit here and go like, yeah, it would have been amazing if my first marathon was sub-3 and all that kind of stuff. But what value would it have if I didn't go through all the things I've had to go through to get to this stage now?
Yeah, absolutely. Are you able to think of, like if I was to ask you, where do you see yourself now in 5 years' time? Would you be able to share what you might like or hope for? These are like goals or dreams, aren't they? Can be personal. So just if you can answer something.
That sounds like a job interview question, doesn't it? Well, I want to be a director and I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that. It's like, okay. My goals really is just to primarily be a really good husband and a really good father to my kids.
Yeah, which I think you're already doing.
Yeah, like no one's perfect, you know what I mean? You try your best and sometimes your eye slips off the ball and that kind of thing. But I think ultimately, you know, as a person, I want to do right by my family. I think that's the most important thing. And then in terms of other side, I want to just keep exploring the running side. I mean, my goals are my next running goal is to, you know, break sub 2:45. And the reason is because it's just a continuation of the journey. So it's not like sub 3 or 2:45 is the market. It's just a goal further enough to keep stretching you to, then that has such a massive impact on your life in other areas in terms of, you know, your belief, your confidence, that kind of thing. So I hope that doesn't take me 5 years to do it, but that's my next goal. And that's where I'm looking at the moment. In terms of, it's just because I think just the training it requires and things like that. So I want to do that. I just think it'd just be amazing to, you know, be a black guy from London to do that. And I know people say, yeah, but there's loads of black people running, you know, but I don't come from Kenya or Ethiopia. You know, I don't see many people that look like me, even in London, running. Do you know what I mean? Around those kind of times, I know a couple of people and we're connected, but it's kind of still few and far between. So I think how amazing would that be for my kids to see that and to tell them, what failure really is. And I think that's really one kind of, that's a big, big thing for me really. But I mean, that's more of a 12 month goal. But in terms of 5 years, I couldn't really sort of tell you in terms of what I'm doing, because I think, like, it's like we say, it's like, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, will I be the same person in terms of, will I want to share so much on social media? I mean, we've had conversations about the social dilemma and things like that. It's kind of like these kind of things make you think, I'm happy sharing now, but will that be the same down the line, I don't know. But ultimately, beyond that, I just want to be a good person to my family. And I just want to keep being like just living to my best potential. And that could be running, that could be Instagram, that could be something else. That could be the podcast. At the minute, I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. And I know in the traditional way of answering your question, it's probably not answered in the sense of like, yes, and this time I would be doing this and I'd be doing that. But ultimately, I think what this year showed us is like, what is actually important? Like external stuff or all those accolades, you know, those things that we value, but that you can't, if you're at home with your immediate family, then does it really matter like what clothes you've got or how much money you've got in the bank, or you can't go out anyways. So It doesn't really matter. So you kind of just want to make sure that you're doing right by the people that are close to you and you're still being the best version of you possible. And I just want to see where that goes.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's a great answer. You were saying, oh, I don't know if it's really what you were asking, but it is. It wasn't more the, you know, it's where you see yourself as a person. So that answer couldn't have been better, really. And as I ask all guests, then, if you could tell us a quote that you would live by or should live by.
I gave a different quote in a different podcast, but actually, it's a song lyric that I've been thinking of. Could I use that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a song called Long Live the Chief by Jadena, and it's been a lyric that's actually been almost like a mantra in my head. And he basically says something along the lines of like, you can either sink, swim, or be the captain. And
that's good.
And I've just been thinking about that, especially this year. It's just like, yeah, you can let it overwhelm you, or you can accept it for what it is and just take some sort of charge wherever you can. So for me, it's just about taking responsibility for what you can, and what you can is just how you react to things. I can't control lots of external things. I can't control whether I get to 45, sub 245, or whether people like me on Instagram, or whether people like my podcast in 2 years' time. I like doing my podcast. I'm having good conversations. So I'm getting value from it. So, and I hope other people get value from it as well. So yeah, that quote is really kind of, it's got so many sort of layers to it as well. And it's something I've been thinking about this year for sure.
Love that. That made me think of a quote that Joe Rogan uses, and that's be the hero of your own story, when he's saying that, you know, you've got the power to achieve what you want and to get up and get going and, you know, can tackle it. Love that. And finally then, if you could tell us one guest that you'd love to listen to on this podcast.
Gosh, that's put me on a spot there.
It has, because you've interviewed a lot of people, so you've already been able to ask some of those much wanted questions to others.
I'd probably say like Mario Fioli, I'd say.
Yes, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
I've obviously been on his podcast, and I like the way that he asks questions and just the way he thinks things through. And I've actually had him, he's recorded a podcast for my show, which is going to be released soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you not got plans to do that? So that's really, really exciting. Can't wait to listen to that.
So yeah, he's a really, just an interesting, their friends is an interesting person as well. So got a lot of time and respect for him. So yeah, he would be one for sure.
So we'll be able to listen to that soon over on A Runner's Life then.
Yeah, I've got to get it out. So I've got some other episodes as well that I'm trying to juggle around as well. But I think the thing about me is that like sometimes people think I'm super organized with it, but I end up just speaking to so many people, then like, oh, and I need to put these out. So
yeah,
I'm not as organized as I should be in some aspects, but I just really enjoy the conversations.
I think sometimes it's difficult though. I think, you know, given that you work full time, you've got a family, you know, you've got a wife, you've got two young children, it is hard to manage everything. And you've had renovation recently as well. You know, it is hard. And I think that's where, you know, I always said to you, we've agreed that, you know, what you're doing, you're giving so much value to other people to be able to listen to those episodes. And you know, there's nothing wrong in being just a little bit, if you feel that that's a little bit unorganized, I still think you're organized. It's fine. I think you're doing all right.
Thank you.
I will ask you one more question then, as we've just spoken about that about the podcast. What do you think is the biggest or best lesson that you've learnt since podcasting?
Just, I think, one, to listen, and people want to be heard and to be seen. That's not just in podcasts, and that's just in life as well. So you could ask, you know, someone a question. I think in the beginning, like, you think you need to have like so many questions out, and you just need to listen. And the answers literally are in the question. Do you know what I mean? The questions are in the answers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, love that. And then just finally then, could you just let everyone know where they can go to connect with you, send you a message, and listen to your podcast?
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at the Marathon Marcus. I had to use the Marathon Marcus because I think there's a couple of Marathon Marcuses out there. I can't believe the audacity of those people. So there's a couple of them out there. So yeah, the Marathon Marcus. And on my podcast, A Runner's Life, which is on, you know, Spotify, Google, Apple, etc. And on my website, which is my blog, which sort of covers quite a bit some of the stuff I've done previously in terms of my sub-3 journey and some of the interviews that I've done previously. It's marathonmarcus.com.
Fab. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you are super busy, and it's always great to chat and catch up with you. But we'll speak soon, and thank you again, Marcus. I really appreciate it.
No worries. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Take care.
But you just sort of go through it, and you realise actually people are kind of similar to you and have same sort of feelings and fears and hopes and dreams. But ultimately, I'd say the vast majority, like 98% of stuff on social media I've done or stuff online is positive. There's obviously the stuff that you know, people that don't like you, and there's the people that just watch you from the side. But but you can't, that's their prerogative, isn't it? So I'm just like, well, if you want to spend time watching me, then that's how about your day, really. So thank you.
Yeah, me and you have definitely spoken about that before, about people watching from the sidelines but not actually offering that support or just sneakily watching. And again, it's like you said, it's their prerogative. If that's what they want to do, then, you know, carry on. I think at times like that, and like you said, not giving the negativity too much energy, which is brilliant. I've experienced very little negative instances online, but it does still happen. And I try and do that as well, where not give too much energy. I think I'm not quite as down that path as you might be. I think you seem to be able to compartmentalize that, which is really good. I think I hold my hands up and say that I've had negativity and I've let it get to me, but thankfully it doesn't last long, and I remind myself of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I'm not perfect as well. I mean, like, when I the first stage is like, when I'd get negative comments, I'd react to it, or I'd, you know, repost it or something like that, and, you know, it'd get to me. But
yeah,
I just think, like, I remember I got, there's something to do like Black Lives Matter, and I wrote this post, and someone I followed wrote something very like right wing, and I was just like, wow. I was just like, okay. I was just like, okay, unfollow. And I just left it. I was just like, I'm not even going to give you my energy. I'm not even going to comment to that. I was like, if that's your energy, that's how it is. And it can seem really harsh in terms of just like, just cut that person off. But sometimes it's, you don't, if you give that person your energy, then you're just sort of showing that it's got to you. And I'm like, I'm beyond this. It doesn't get to me. I'm just like, that's just your ignorance. That's your ignorance.
Mm. And that's a great place to be, where you can say, like, you know, that it's not affecting you too much, and it's their ignorance. And it's like you said earlier, when you're receiving this sort of negativity, or when people are placing judgment or comments, it's normally their own insecurities that are coming out that requires them to place comment or to judge or to say something. I don't know.
Yeah, but when you know yourself, though, I mean, like, if someone, even if you've got a weakness and you've addressed it and you know it, then what can someone say to me that it's going to impact me?
Yeah.
It's like if someone says something about my race or something, yeah, it's going to hurt, but I know that intrinsically I'm a good person. So
yes.
What does your opinion matter? It doesn't. That's why I was just like, block.
Like that comment. Yeah. And we have definitely said this before, like with regards to the blocking and following, like you're, because I hear so much negativity over social media, but we, you know, we choose who we follow, we choose who we connect with, we choose who are our friends. The only people that we can't choose are our family, our relatives. So if there is negativity within your feed or you're finding something, you know, that's bringing you down, you don't, that doesn't need to be there. Unfollow, like you say, block. You know, if there's a friend that's, you know, causing negative issues within your life, you know, it's time to look at the friendship and the circles that you're choosing to surround yourself with.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you're younger, you feel like we're going to be best friends for life. This is brother for end, and people change, and sometimes people aren't happy that you've changed and whatever. Yes. Like you said, in terms of growing, and sometimes I feel like, yeah, it's probably that person's for you, that for you for that stage of life, but then they're making room for someone better. And I just sort of look at it in that way, rather than like, yeah, we're going to be tight for life and this is gonna be, I'm not being negative, but I'm just like, I'm a realist, and also, you know, people have got different responsibilities, they've got like family and life and other things, so people's lives are busy, and it's, you know, as you become an adult as well, it's not as straightforward as it looks, and it's not the same sort of thing, and as once you were, you know, a kid or a teenager.
So you were saying about change there, and like that's something that I've said before, like if someone says you've changed, I think we must have said this in our co-hosted one, but yeah. If someone said you've changed, well, yeah, you'd expect there to be a change. You're not going to be the same person. You'd like to think that most of us will evolve and, you know, become, you know, continue to become better people, learn more, etc., etc. Now, there is a question that you've asked guests in your episodes on the podcast, and that is, if you could tell your younger self one thing, like, what would it be? And like, for you now, Marcus, if you could tell your younger self prior to setting up that Instagram, prior to this podcast world and your marathon journey, what would you tell yourself? Like,
oh, there's loads of things, but
yeah,
not like War and Peace, loads of things. I mean, not that long and descriptive, but I'm just trying to think initially. So I guess one thing that's sort of jumping out to me right now is, so when I was doing my first few marathons, the first few races, I was looking at it in terms of I'm sort of thinking of this at the same time when I'm sort of saying this. Okay, so to answer your question, before going back, so I told myself to relax and accept that life and running has up and down moments, but neither are good or bad, and you shouldn't attach so much meaning to it being good or opposite to it being bad. Both have lessons in it. And I think, like, my last marathon, I said, build it, I just felt so relaxed. But that was because I've, you know, quote unquote failed, but I've learned from each failure from the previous marathon attempts. And, you know, I've been sick in runs, or I've had things happen to run in wind and rain. I was like, well, you know, these things have happened, so you kind of get through it. So I probably tell myself to relax, not to, you know, it's not it's not life and death, some of these races.
Yeah.
And the more you relax, actually, the more things happen. And also mentally, because, like, you know, you were running, like, people say, what do you think about? Initially, I was thinking, oh, you need to be thinking all these mantras and all these things, but it's just a lot of mental energy. It's almost like when you see, like, professional, you know, players of different sports, say, like team sports, and you just look at them before a game, and it's like, do you want them to be the person that's all hyped up, or are you fearful of the person that's really calm? It's the person that's really calm you've got to be worried about. So
yeah,
So it's like they're kind of in their zone, they're relaxed, they know what they need to do. And it's just like, I would tell myself that I would have done that a lot sooner and just trust the process a bit more. And like I said, it's just redefining what does success and failure look like, and just treating both of them, you know, the same. It's almost like they're both not as cracked up as it should be. So, I mean, we put too much value and which is important to significance in them, and they're pretty much the same. They've got lessons in both of them, and both aren't, you know, an end point.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we learn so much from our, God, I've lost the word, from what we've succeeded in. I'm trying to think of the antonym to failure. Successes. Yeah. Couldn't think of that. We learn so much from successes, but we learn even more from our failures. And I know you said earlier about it's okay to get back up and get going. And, you know, if you don't hit a goal the first time round, then it's okay. And I didn't come back to that, and I wanted to, because that is something that I was sharing the other day. And I think that's so important to remind ourselves that, you know, you might have a goal and reach for it and not succeed first time round, but, you know, you will have learned so much from that experience from not succeeding. You know, and what do you want to take away from that, I want to say quotation marks, failure, because it's not a failure, so to speak, if you don't quit and keep going. Now, for you, Marcus, on days where you're, and as I ask all guests, where you're struggling to get up and get going, like to motivate yourself, what is your go-to to try and, you know, psych yourself up to get up and get going, whether that be for a run or to, you know, host a podcast and interview someone, whatever it is, what do you use to psych yourself up?
Again, I think it just depends on the moment. Sometimes you need to bully yourself into doing things. Sometimes you just need to have a quiet word of yourself. And I would just ask myself, when you're thinking these thoughts, I mean, is it true? Just say, talk back to those feelings. Is it true? And just talk through it. You know, that you don't deny that you're experiencing those feelings, or, you know, you know, you're not struggling about certain things, but you just, is it true? And just go through that process. And it's the same thing in running as well. It's most of the time, you know, in terms about psyching yourself up, it's like a misconception that, like, even though I was talking about sub three, most of the days training aren't that extraordinary or aren't that amazing, or you don't feel great. You know, this, you're running and you might be slightly achy, or, you know, you're thinking about something at work, or you're stressed about something with family, or, you know, it's not like 6 of the 7 days are just like sparkling runs and you just like can't wait. You know, there's some challenges between in those runs, and a lot of the runs are, if it was like a color, it'd be gray. You know, they're not amazing. They just, they get done. I don't want to make it seem like I don't enjoy it, because I do enjoy it, but there's a misconception that like it's easy, or you love every run, or like, I, you know, it's something or other than it should be. It's the thing that's beautiful about running is that it's just uncomfortable, and it puts you into just the place of just like, how do you process that, and how are you moving through space, and lots of different things. So, you know, it's not about always the winning and the losing. I think I've just learned to really embrace just the uncomfortableness of it, and actually find build a home there, if that makes sense, rather than trying to search for this place that doesn't exist, like in a distance where nothing hurts and it's all easy. And if it was all easy, then it would have no value to you and you wouldn't grow. You need to be in that place for you to really come out, and when the moments matter, to show you like how strong you or valuable or brilliant that you are.
There's a question I want to ask you, because I know you've said a couple of times that, you know, not all, you know, a lot of runs are like grey. And you've said before, and I've heard you say this to other people, that running's not always enjoyable, and it can be painful, you know, chasing the goals that you've had, etc. Have you ever questioned why, like, if running is not always enjoyable. And say that's because you're chasing that goal and you're trying to do hard sessions. And perhaps this is a question to all runners, you know, if they're chasing a goal that is faster than what they've achieved before, if it's not always enjoyable, or it's painful, or it's hard, or it demands so much of you, have you ever thought to yourself, I don't need to run this fast, I can run slow? I know this is a silly question for when you're such a great athlete and you can achieve brilliant things, but thank you guys so much for joining today and listening to Not Another Runner podcast. Please tell your friends and family who you think would enjoy the content I'll be sharing. Don't forget you can get in touch with me over on Instagram via Not Another Runner. Let me know your thoughts on the podcast, any suggestions on guests or topics. This is greatly appreciated. Send me your questions through as well if you want, and use the hashtag #WhyIRun to be featured. And hey, if you can, hit subscribe to the podcast. This will really help me to be able to give you more. Thank you again, and remember, when you get up and exercise or go for a run, you never regret going, but you always regret not going. Have a great week, guys, and speak soon.